Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and good evening, good evening. This is New York City Councilmember Andy King, and welcoming you all to the 33rd edition of King Talk Radio. This is the King Talk Show that we'll be talking about real talk, real things, real views, real things that matters to us all, whether it's your personal problems or issues, spirituality, community, or whatever ignites your spirit and your soul. Tonight, we're going to have an inspiring conversation, a saddened conversation, but an inspiring conversation as well, as we talk about the challenges that have happened in the Caribbean through the number of hurricanes that have swept through where our brothers and sisters have called home for so many years. If you have any questions, you can please give us a call at 323-870-3869. That call-in number again for any questions, concerns, or just ideas. You can reach us at 323-870-3869. We're also accepting emails tonight because we are live here in the Bronx. You can email us at kingtalkradioshow@gmail.com. Again, you're listening to the King Talk Radio blog show here. We're in live in the Boogie Down Bronx having a conversation with a number of special guests tonight who are chiming in. But as we always do, we go into our community calendar to talk about what's happening in the Bronx, in the 12th District, and beyond. So just want to give you a reminder that on Saturday, the 23rd, North Central Bronx Hospital will be hosting their back-to-school brunch and activities fair. Middle and high school students will be participating with health professionals in hands-on health and science activities. This will be held at 3424 Kossuth Avenue on the 17th floor in the conference room. Also on Saturday, the National Council of Negro Women, in sponsorship with myself, U.S. Congress Representative Elodie Engel, New York State Assembly Speaker Carl E. Hasty, and New York State Senator Jamal Bailey will be hosting a free 2017 Living Well Health Fair at 4035 White Plains Road from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Nutritional and wellness information will be provided by a variety of local agencies that will include the American Red Cross, Bankers Life Insurance, Bronx Community Health Network, Bronx Health Link, Bronx Health Reach, Food Rangers, Iris House for HIV and HPC, Lincoln Hospital, Love Your Breasts, Male Awareness, Metro Plus, New York City Fire Department, St. Barnabas Hospital, Teen Substance Abuse, the Legal Aid Society, and Window Guards. Following up also on Saturday, River Bay is having a town hall in Co-op City Little League Field from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. They will be providing a free shuttle for services to the field and back from Einstein and Bartow Center and from the Dreiser Loop Community Center. Seating is limited, so you'll have to call Sarah Ann White, at 917-913-4225 to reserve a seat. And on Sunday, which is very dear to today's conversation, we will be having a press conference, and I'm inviting everyone to join me. Also joining me will be Senator Leroy Comrie out of Queens, Assembly Speaker Carl E. Hasty, Congressmember Elliot Engel, Assemblymember Mark Joni, and Pastor Janet Hodge of Crawford United Methodist Church, and a lot of elected officials, community, and union leaders on the steps of Crawford Memorial United Methodist Church, which is located at 3757 White Plains Road at 1:30 p.m. as we kick off a donation drive for the Virgin Islands and Dominica. All are welcome to bring donations of canned food, gently worn clothing, water, flashlights, batteries, insect repellents, portable radios, items for babies such as diapers and baby food, first aid supplies, blankets, and shoes. We are accepting donations until Friday, September 29th, at my district office at 940 East Gun Hill Road from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. On Monday, we want to remind everyone that Land Use Committee of Community Board 12 will hold a public hearing to gather consensus and comments of the community residents regarding an extension of term variance for a commercial building in an R4 zoning district, which expired on March 13, 2008. The meeting will take place at 4101 219th Street and White Plains Road. 4101 East 229th Street and White Plains Road, 7:30 p.m. And lastly, on Thursday, the New York City Council Speaker Mark Melissa Viverito, Councilmember Carlos Menchaca, and Councilmember Jalissa Ferrer-Coakland, and the Black, Latino, Asian Caucus will be hosting a celebration of Independence of Mexico at City Hall Chambers. You can RSVP by calling 212-482-4120. The RSVP deadline is Tuesday on the 26th of noon. We're going to be right back with our guest callers who are calling in from St. Thomas, as well as from Colorado, as well as from Washington, and right here in the Bronx, to have a conversation in regards to what has happened in the Virgin Islands, what has happened in the island of Dominica, and what we can do here on the mainland to give support to our brothers and sisters. I'm looking forward to our conversation when we return with Senator Janelle Sarris, who is the Senator of St. Thomas, so in the USV Island. So stay tuned and remind everyone that you're tuning into right now the King Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this public service announcement.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? When a tornado is tearing through town? Or a hurricane strikes? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
A second. Well, welcome back to King Talk Radio. King Talk Radio show gives you real views, real talk, and real news. Today, we're having a conversation with a number of elected leaders across the globe in a time of need, in a time of crisis across the Caribbean, as the number of hurricanes have stricken our brothers and sisters who are in search of how to find some sense of normalcy. So I'm grateful and thankful that over the past week, 2 weeks, I've been in communication with the governor, Governor Mapp of the United States Virgin Islands, as well as a number of senators such as Senator Nellie O'Reilly and as well as Senator Janelle Serraro. So we're grateful tonight to have the senator calling in from St. Thomas. Let's welcome Senator Janelle Serraro on the phone line. Senator, are you there?
Hi, Councilman King. How are you?
We're doing quite well here. It's kind of breezy, kind of windy, but not what you have experienced. We want to welcome you to King Talk Radio Show. I am saddened of what your island is experiencing. You know, just last month, a number of us from the United States came down from the mainland, as we've done for the last 3 years, to host the Black Latino legislative labor leaders retreat, which allows us to come together in your wonderful island of St. Thomas. And as we've toured St. Thomas, we've toured St. John's and had the privilege of moving around and just to get to know you all as elected leaders and the great work that you're doing to make sure that the USVI is strong. But now in times of crisis, we offer our words of prayer, we offer our words of support, and we are here. But we want to hear from you what's happening on the ground there. And we just want to give you a couple words of being greetings before we get into questions.
Oh, well, what's happening on the ground are major recovery efforts. We have our people are traumatized. Some are flustered. Some are impatient. Some want Rome to be rebuilt in a day, and that can't happen. But we have major recovery efforts. We have our water and power crew clearing roads, trying to get cables out of roads. We have the military that came in giving aid to our people. It's not enough, but hopefully some will amp up the aid to the territories. We've behaved pretty hard. You know, you had St. Croix, that was our hub. Prior to Irma, all our supplies came from St. Croix and from Puerto Rico. And now that Puerto Rico has been hit and St. Croix has been hit, our supply chain has been cut off. So we're pretty destitute. Our hopes are down a little bit, but I firmly believe that we'll be okay. Our hospitals, both hospitals, are demolished. So we have the army, the military has set up these, I guess, emergency operation tents outside of the hospital, you know, after a natural disaster, an epidemic breaks out. So we have a lot of mosquitoes, so we're in need of off and repellent because, you know, we have the Zika threats and then you have the dengue fever that can happen because mosquitoes do carry a lot of diseases. And our economy is going to be shut for a while because we depend solely on tourism. And when you can't, the airports are closed because the airports have been hit pretty hard too. So when you can't have commercial flights in, when your ports aren't open to receive cruise ships, then taxi men make no money. Hotels have been hit pretty hard. Hotels are really, the Marriott has been hit. The Ritz-Carlton has been hit pretty hard. Our Wyndham hotels have been hit. So we've just been hit from the financial sector, from the social services sector, from the health perspective, from a political perspective. Our government house is no longer, you know, and our Senate has, our Capitol building has endured extreme flooding. We've had to ship out our prisoners and flights, and our Superior Court has been damaged as well. So that's a brief synopsis of what took place. And St. Dan is the third island, and St. Dan has been hit tremendously. But I ask everyone to pray for islands like Dominica, Antigua, Barbuda, Anguilla, St. Thomas, St. John, Water Island, St. Croix, and the British Virgin Islands as well.
Wow, that is massive. That's like a reset do-over for the island, as I hear of the destructions. And our listeners are listening tonight. We want people to understand the severity of what you all are experiencing, because sometimes we, in the coziness on the mainland, we forget what's really real when our brothers and sisters go through something. And complaining about your trash not being picked up is nothing when people are in search of food, clothing, and lighting as well. I heard you mention
that. We have a lot of people that are roofless.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need to figure out how do we become human again, and I think these type of experiences allows us to come together and find the best of humanity and the spirit of the Lord inside of all of us to shine. I'm going to be praying for all our brothers and sisters, not just there who are in need, but to find the strength and the fortitude to exist, but exist with love, not with desperation to hurt the next one for survival. And I think, you know, these prayers I know will be heard to give the people, and not only in USVI and St. Thomas and St. John's and St. Croix, but all abroad, whether it was Puerto Rico or Dominica or it's Barbuda, which kind of was, you know, erased off the map. But all our brothers and sisters abroad, but allowing our brothers and sisters in the mainland to recognize that we must do something. We must do something. I heard you mention that the government house where the governor, you said it's no more. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, so the Capitol of St. Thomas, so the three-story building on Government Hill, Government House, has been hit pretty hard as well, so I doubt the governor will. He cannot use the official building that he works out of. And then Catherine Burke, which would be his official residence, has also been hit pretty hard. So every aspect of our economy, of our, you know, the entire territory has been hit. We have a lot of people, our shelters are full. We're using our schools as shelters now. And a wing of one of the schools is now the nursing home for the CVU patients. So a lot of our institutions that could reopen for school are being used for other, you know, purposes. And then we have a lot of schools that were hit pretty hard that are demolished. And you cannot put children in that. So our education is going to be pushed back to probably November, December. We're going to have to figure out if we're going to bring in, like, modular classrooms. Because in 95, when we had Hurricane Marilyn, we did double sessions. I was 9 years old, and we had one school using the school in the morning, and another school would come in the afternoon. So our education commission is going to have to be a bit creative with our education system and how we're going to educate our young people. But it's hard when they wear uniforms. A lot of people are homeless. They have no roofs. And to get them up in the morning, to get them dressed, to get them school bags and books. I mean, you had textbooks that were destroyed, Promethean boards that were gone. The whole situation is just a travesty, and I want the Americans to understand that we are in American territory, and the federal government can no longer act as if we are a rejected or the forgotten territory. We need to definitely provide aid. It's an obligation of the federal government.
And I concur with you 100%. And we will do what we can to continue to advocate and give the support of your Congresswoman, Stacey Plassey. I spoke briefly with Gregory Meeks, who is looking to join Congressmember Plassey in the VI next week to figure out what Congress should be doing. And we have an obligation. You know, we can't pick and choose where we give support. You know, the U.S. Virgin Islands claims the name United States, so they're not a stepchild. They are a child of the United States government. And we need to do better as a government. We need to act swiftly. The conversation, the tides, as I hear watching the media from CNN and ABC News, you know, I'm glad to hear that the United States Virgin Islands is being spoke of out of people's mouths and recognizing that there's work to be done there and there has to be a commitment. So we're going to do all we can in our small little territory of the planet to help out there. And I heard you mentioning about the schools. How is the morale as you move around and talk to the children on the island? How are they? How's the psychological aspect of a hurricane affecting them?
They're going to definitely need counseling. But, you know, sometimes in a black community, we don't really take counseling serious, whether it's in our marriages or in our everyday lives. So what we've done as a community, we're a bit desensitized to what happened. For me, mm-hmm. in 95, when the hurricane was done, they just sent us to school. And you learn to just cope. So that's why I'm traumatized with hurricanes now, because what I went through in 95. But that's what we've done. We don't have enough psychologists or counselors to work with our children. And they're not talking about it, but kids are eager to go back to school because they're running around all day playing in the dirt or kicking balls or playing marbles, and they're not getting an education. But the reality is there is no institution to educate them. And then you have a lot of teachers that we have a mass exodus of people that are leaving the island on mercy flights. So I'm almost positive that class sizes are going to increase because mm-hmm. we've lost a good amount of teachers that left the island in a flurry as if we're in Aleppo. Right. But we've had a lot of people that have left the territory as well. So we know that there are going to be vacancies in education and vacancies across the public and private sector.
Right. Well, we're going to keep praying for you. And I know we're talking via telephone, your cell phone, and we noticed that there's been a number of information that has been posted up on Facebook through the Internet. What means of communication other than a cell phone or Internet is working at this point that people can communicate to find out how family members are doing or just learn more information? What do you recommend?
I'm happy you asked this question because you opened a Pandora's box. So we, all of our landlines are down because the poles are snapped in half and entire infrastructure is down. What AT&T and Sprint did was pull out their service prior to the storm, and they're our largest providers on our cell phones, the mobile phones in the territory. And as a U.S. territory, we can't allow corporate companies to come in here, corporations to come in here and do what they want, and they send you a bill every month, but they take your towers down. So, you know, citizens are driving to like 3 or 4 points on the island, so you'll see traffic backed up at Skyline or different points because people are driving there from their homes to make a call out or to post on Facebook because AT&T Sprint is nowhere to be found, and our local company, of course, naturally, has been hit hard. And so the only way people have to call out is to drive to those points and post on Facebook or call a loved one. As you leave those areas, then you have no service.
So let me ask you this. AT&T and Sprint decided in the best interest of protecting their equipment that they were going to pull their equipment out prior to the storm. Did they talk to the government?
They took them offline,
Say again?
They took them offline. It would require a public services commission that regulates our utility companies to do such. But some of that is also a federal issue I mean, it's a lot. I mean, when you have a delegate in Congress, because we're still disenfranchised. So it points to a lot of issues. When you have a delegate in Congress like D.C. that cannot vote, they just become an official lobbyist, you know. So there's a lot of things happening here. You have millions between Puerto Rico and the territory, and these kids get up every day and say, pledge allegiance to the flag every day. And then in situations like this, you're reminded that you are just a second-class citizen.
Yeah, the flag deserves to be unique.
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm just saying the flag deserts you in time of need, even though I pledge to it every day. Now when it's time for the flag to show up for me, you're saying that you would desert it. I understand.
Yeah. But the federal government is coming in now, but there's a lot more that they can do. I think a lot of businesses should be subsidized, tourism industry, businesses as well, because when your ports are damaged and you're not allowing, the federal government is not allowing any planes to land, commercial, then you take away the livelihood of a lot, about maybe 80% of the territory. That means no money goes into our coffers, and that means we'll be on the brink of a financial crisis.
Well, we're going to have to do more here in supporting government there, as well as lobbying the federal government, and we're going to do that. We're going to do that on our end on the mainland to give support to help them recognize the struggles and the injustice of the relationship that we have with the USVI. And we're going to continue to having this conversation with you. We have a couple of other callers, Senator, who are going to chime in with us for this evening. But I want to thank you. Don't go away. You know, we're going to have one community conversation. But I believe on the phone right now we have Gabriel Christian from Christian & Associates, LLC, who is heading up a relief organization for the island of Dominica. I know he is originally from Dominica, I believe, or Anguilla, then moved to Dominica. But, Gabriel, are you on the phone? Mr. Christian, he's on the phone? I think I hear, did we lose? We didn't lose him, did we? Okay. Okay, so Mr. Christian is not, he'll probably call back in, but we'll look to talk with him. But also that was calling in is Bernard Sylvester, an executive member of the Dominica Emerald Organization of New Jersey. It's Mr. Bernard Sylvester. Is he still, we didn't lose him, did we? We're trying to figure out some of our calls are coming in or being dropped, so we apologize. So at this point, Senator, who's
Mel Tawahati.
Hello, Gabriel?
No, Mel Tawahati.
Oh, Mel, how are you? Good to talk to you. Good to talk to you again, Mr. Tawahati. For those of you, our guests who are chiming in, Mel Tawahati is the CEO of Infinity Wealth, and he is playing a very important part in the relief fund of Dominica as well as the Virgin Islands. So if you could just say hello to our guest, Mel, and explain to your organization and the role that you're playing in the rebuilding process of these islands that have been devastated by these hurricanes.
My name is Mel Tawahati. I'm the CEO of Infinity Wealth and the CEO of Infinity Retirement Solutions in Canada, Mississauga, Ontario. I have been in the financial planning business for the last 30 years. I'm married to a Caribbean girl from Trinidad, and but I'm originally from Ethiopia. And Dominica has been really in my heart just because of three or four families that are very dear to us, including the Gabe Christian family, Esther, and all his brothers and sisters, and also Daniel Lugay, parliamentary representative from from Dominique in a goodwill, in the writing of goodwill, and also Roy Mondesir. Dr. Roy Mondesir is a world-renowned scientist in infectious disease. He's currently working in Malaysia, and we are very close. And because of that, Dominica's got a very special place in my heart and in the hearts of many Ethiopians. And so we are really devastated and sad to hear that this type of destruction has happened to the island again after 38 years. We had David in 1979. Now, so we have almost a more disaster. At that time, there was about 50-some-odd person died as a result of David. David was really very bad for Dominican Republic. There was 2,000 people died at that time. And so, thank God, it's not as disastrous as that, but still a lot of people lost their lives. And so we are working hard to work with Rebuild Dominica and Urgent Care Dominica to garner support and get some emergency supply into the country.
Well, we're thanking you all that you can do. As you heard the senator speaking about trying to bring some normalcy to the children, because they're pretty much numb as of, they're just kicking rocks around and without nothing to do until they're able to get an educational system in place in order for them. What is your organization prepared to do when it comes to helping our children?
Well, at this point, we have a commitment from Toys for God's Kids, an organization that makes wooden toys. And they are very durable and stay for a long, long time. Beautiful toys, and we have a commitment to get 500 of those delivered to me on next month, October 10th. They'll get them ready and get them to me, and we'll get it straight down to the island. And there'll be some toys that we'll be collecting for the children to comfort them in this time of need, and children's stuff that we'll be collecting the next little while. And we will do everything we can to comfort the children and make sure that the families are don't suffer more than they have to. So we have to absolutely work to save the children from this kind of trauma. As the senator just earlier on said, we feel sad of what happened to the Virgin Islands. That's also a very, very precious place. We have a lot of Ethiopians that are living in that island. Dr. Nelson, a couple of big Ethiopian doctors that are serving the island, and professors at the university in St. Croix and St. Thomas. And we feel really sad about the level of destruction on the Virgin Islands, too. So we're praying for everybody, and we're trying to put everything together, but as far as Dominica goes, we're going to work hard and rebuild the island. There's no two ways about it. There's nothing you can do about this type of situation. Just accept for what it is and get on and get going.
Right. So I want you to stay on the line. We got to take a break, and then we're going to come back. We just want to get your thoughts on if there's anything that we can do in the future as we rebuild Dominica and the Virgin Islands. If there's any such thing as hurricane-proof structures, but what are your opinions of implementing such structures to reduce this type of damage in the future? So we're going to take a break. Senator Mel, thank you for calling in. We're going to see if we can get our other guests back on the line, and we'll be right back on King Talk Radio right after this public service announcement.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood, or an earthquake is destroying buildings. When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes. Or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Good evening and welcome back to the 30th episode of King Talk Radio. This is New York City Councilmember Andy King. We're live in the Bronx having a conversation with our Senator Sarasu, who was the Senator at St. Thomas, United States Virgin Islands, as well as Brother Mel Tawadde, who is the CEO of Infinity Wealth. We also have on the line, I believe we were able to reconnect with Pastor Janet Hodge of Crawford United Methodist Church. Pastor, are you on the line? Hello, Pastor? Pastor, are you on the line? We are not hearing you. So I don't know if we lost her on the turn again, but we're going to continue to try to reconnect with the pastor. But we do have another caller on the line. Next caller.
Hello.
Identify yourself. Hello.
Pastor,
yes, good
Hodge.
Evening. This is, you're on King Talk Radio. Oh, Pastor Hodge. Oh, great, great, great. Great to hear from you. Thank you for chiming in tonight on King Talk Radio. As you've been listening and you've heard a number of the questions and challenges to the Senator and as well as Mr. Tawadde, as a pastor, first I want to say thank you for opening up your doors on Sunday as we kick off a relief drive to bring in supplies and support for the United States Virgin Islands, the Virgin Islands, and as well as Dominica. So we want to know just from you, your thoughts as a pastor. I know that you were born in Tortola, and which was hit, as well as raised in St. Thomas, which is one of the main spots of our fundraiser. So love you to bring greetings and tell us a little bit about Sunday as well.
Sure. Well, the British Virgin Islands war hit very badly. I spoke with my sister, Evelyn, immediately after Irma hit, and the only word she could use to describe the devastation was unrecognizable. That every place she went, the place was devastated. Houses were gone. Buildings were gone. It was just total devastation.
Wow.
As far as most houses have lost their roofs. People, a lot of people have now moved in together, trying to share whatever facility has been left untouched. I understand that the hospital has survived the devastation. So the question then became, how can we help from this end? I spoke with my sisters in St. Thomas. Same thing. They're devastated also. So we were coordinating relief efforts through Onision St. Croix, and now St. Croix is hit. So then the question became, what can we do here from the state side? And a group of us decided to come together and start collecting non-perishable items and health kits to ship to the island. And as we were doing that, then also Dominica became, you know, one of the victims of Maria. So on Sunday, actually starting tomorrow, a group of us will meet at the church and then strategize. And then on Sunday, you will have that press conference where we announce to the community what we are doing, so that we can get buy-in from the community in supporting us also.
Well, that's great. And I know that your congregation is full of members from the Caribbean community, but at the end of the day, we are still a part of God's community.
Yes.
So what advice or what would you give to people who are stressing out, who are in dire straits, trying to figure out how to connect with their relatives? What advice would you give, you know, those who are waiting to hear from their loved ones?
People who are waiting to hear from loved ones, if they have access to Facebook, they can post the names of the people, what we were doing as a family, my nephew and nieces, who are all stateside. We were in touch with each other on Facebook. We posted names, and then there were people in St. Thomas and St. Croix who were responding to us. As a matter of fact, one lady in St. Thomas went out of her way to find my sister and got back to us to say that she was okay. So we found Facebook to be extremely helpful during that time. Now, there are hot spots in St. Thomas and also in the British Virgin Islands if people can get around, but transportation is an issue. If people can get around and have access to a cell phone, they may be able to call you. But I find Facebook to be very helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm grateful for that. I want you to just stay on the line. We're getting ready to chime in. We got Gabriel Christian, who's an attorney at law, and he's also the president of Rebuild Dominica, which was incorporated in 2015 to aid Tropical Storm Erica relief. Well, now here we go again. Brother Gabriel, welcome to the conversation. You're on King Talk Live. Thank you, and we want you to just to share your thoughts on what you have been doing or how this has an impact on you and your family. And what are some of the next steps that you're looking to achieve and bringing relief to our brothers and sisters in Dominica and in the USVI and the VI?
My brother, Andy King, first of all, thank you for giving us this platform and the sister, the delightful, courageous, and dutiful sister, who I take it is from the USVI?
Yes. That's our senator who's on. Matter of fact, if we can get to chime in the senator so she can chime in at any time.
Absolutely. Senator, what's your name again?
Janelle Saro.
Janelle.
Sam Janelle Saro, yes.
Janelle, Senator, the great leader that we have with us this evening brought the African-American, Hispanic, Asian leadership caucus from the New York City Council and State Senate of New York to St. Thomas just last month, and we came with him, my family did. We stayed at the Emerald Resort and worked with him to speak with folks at the UVI looking to do the development work that can really bring great results, not only for the diaspora from the USVI and the other Caribbean islands, but for USVI itself, St. Thomas, St. John. And we had a wonderful time, and we basked in the warmth of our fellow islanders. And here we are under this dark cloud. And so, you know, we are people of faith. We heard the disaster Irma. We went to the home of Lawton Sargent, who is from St. Kitts, but grew up in the USVI and went to UVI. He's a graduate of UVI. He's a mechanical engineer. And we formed the Caribbean Disaster Relief and Recovery Alliance, which included the USVI Association, because they had assisted us in 2015. And this was our opportunity to hold hands, but we didn't want to do it in an ad hoc way. So we formed this alliance, and the law firm we work with, that I'm part of, we incorporated it, we did pro bono, and we collected funds for St. Thomas and Tortola and Barbuda. And we had a huge meeting here at the law firm on Friday evening, not knowing that on Monday, Dominica's turn was to come. I've not even spoken to my brother, Dr. Sam Christian, U.S. Army combat surgeon. We've not spoken to many of our family members because Dominica has been devastated. Luckily, we have had the great support of people like Councilman King and the other Caribbean organizations, including the Caribbean Disaster Relief and Recovery Alliance, which is made up of people from St. Thomas, Antigua, Dominica, all of us working together. And then, of course, Rebuild Dominica, which is a 501c3. Right now we're gathering tarpaulins, food products, and medical supplies. We're working with Project Cures right now to get a container of medical supplies down there. We're working to get volunteer nurses, volunteer physicians. Dr. Dale Dangleman is going to be working with Dr. Sam Christian. We've spoken to Dr. Diane Amor Robinson. And so we're all working this effort and hoping that we can build resiliency to bring immediate assistance to those who have been stricken on Dominica. Communications are down. We'll be asking for donations for satellite phones because the Virgin Islands relies a lot on the U.S. backbone because it's U.S. territory. I guess there's maybe going to be more competence in the communications and other areas that the U.S. Army can bring. But Dominica, unfortunately, doesn't have that relationship, and so it's been a lot more difficult for folks to connect their people. But we're working it, and we're working it strong, and we're just asking folks to be patient, to be orderly, to be disciplined, and to really try to stick together in a unified approach.
Well, those are some great words in time of despair. Senator, I know that there's been an ask. You heard the pastor mention that on Sunday we'll be doing a kickoff in regards to raising and putting together a host of supplies. While you're on the air and people are tuned in, can you just share with our listeners what are the greatest needs and supplies that you're asking for St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John's at this moment?
What we need is insect repellent. If you can donate small radios, because our communications are down and people need radios with batteries to listen to our radio station that gives live updates almost every hour. We need lots of canned goods. Nothing to cook but canned goods. We need lots of water. We need towels. We need nets that can stop mosquitoes, for babies and children to sleep in. What would be good is if you can send some books or anything educational for our young people that we can give out. So basic supplies is perfectly fine. Nothing that's going to be, we're in a barbaric time. So we have no power. We're not going to have any power for about close to 6 months to a year, given the devastation that took place. So, like I said, batteries, AAA, C, D, radios, insect repellent, anything for babies, Pampers, wipes, baby clothes, baby food. We have about 600 babies that were born this year that are in need of stuff. We need, portable styrofoam coolers because we give ice a lot to people. When you give ice, you have those who are diabetic, and their insulin needs to stay cool, and people are in need of those things as well.
Okay. So for all our listeners, on Sunday when we come together at 1:30 at Crawford, you heard the senator of the ask of what is necessary needed at this time. While we're looking to receive donations of anything you're able to deliver, remember, there isn't any electricity. There isn't any place for anybody to cook. So we have to be smart and strategic on the contributions that we make that they will be able to utilize, and that it doesn't put us in a position of what do we do with something that might not be able to be utilized at this point in time. So we're going to do all we can as Sunday comes, and the drive that we're hosting at our office, at the church, will last for about 7 days. We have a number of drop-off points. One will be at Crawford Church on Sunday. Then we will be having one at 940 East Gun Hill Road. That is my district office, as well as in Co-op City, Dry's Loop, room 153, another office that we have secured in Co-op City to receive any donations. The goal is to collect as fast as we can. The goal is to package as fast as we can. And the goal is to deliver as fast as we can. Our brothers and sisters are going through some things in the Caribbean, and we need to act fast, people. We need to act fast, as if you were living on Gun Hill Road, or if you was in Brevoort houses, or you was just on 145th and Lenox and you needed help. We need to act fast and make sure that our brothers and sisters that are in St. Thomas, St. John's, St. Croix, Puerto Rico, Dominica, Tortola, Barbuda, St. Martin, you know, you name it, you know, the hurricanes have claimed it in the Virgin Islands, so, and in the Caribbean. So we need to do all that we can here on the mainland, and no gift is too small. You know, sometimes I say again, I remember a pastor said to a number of us about 3 weeks ago, and we complained about our trash, look at what people are going through abroad and go slap yourself silly, because some of the things that we don't realize that are really nothing are exactly that, absolutely nothing. So we're going to be getting ready to wind down on King Talk, but we want to allow Gabriel, we want to hear from each one of you to give a closing remark or a statement or a plea that you want to send out to all our listeners of what next steps should look like and what you would like to see the participation of humanity during this time.
Thank you so much. One of the things we thank you so much, Councilman King. Thank you so much, Senator, for the love of humanity you have exhibited by this message of giving to all people. We want it to be the case. We emphasize one word, unity, unity, unity. Together, everyone achieves more via that unified purpose. For Dominica, we are looking for as many people to do the 40 by 20 tarpaulins for the roofs, because a lot of the people, most of the houses have the four walls and the rafters, but they don't have any sheeting. So the tarpaulin would be a short-term measure. That's number one. Number two, we're looking for people to donate solar-powered radios and solar-powered lamps, because we have no power. And candles, of course, burn out. But the solar-powered radio, solar-powered lamp, and solar-powered charging plates for cell phones. People can put them out during the day. They will be charged, and they can be used at night, and they will be then recharged the next morning without any, you know, exhaust to further pollute the atmosphere to enhance global warming. And, of course, it can be reused as we go forward. Food items. We are looking for canned goods, and we're looking to stage things through St. Lucia and the French Islands. So we're working on that, and our website is www.rebuilddominica.org. www.rebuilddominica.org. That's a duly certified nonprofit corporation, the only Dominican corporation certified IRS 501c3. Dedicated to disaster relief. There are many organizations that we have all across the country, and we look forward to working with them. But they are generic, general community organizations that put on shows and do other great things in the community. But our purpose is specific to disaster relief, and we hope to be a platform, and we have been a platform. We share information for all our community organizations so that we avoid the duplication of effort. So thank you again, Councilman King, for all the good work you do, and we look forward to working with you long-term as we look forward to rebuilding Dominica, the Virgin Islands, Tortola, and all our other afflicted islands who had an awful year in this hurricane season.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Christian. I want to thank you for those words. And I, before we do wrap, I want to give the pastor, the senator, and Mel opportunity to for some final thoughts. Mel, are you still on the line?
I'm on the line, yes. Thank you for this opportunity. We really have to, as Brother Gabe said, to coordinate our efforts and really respect some type of central point where somebody is going to take order from someone else if we want to get the maximum efficiency. So it's very difficult if people are just going to donate anything they like, which is not going to be of any use to the people there. So in this time of need, we have this Ethiopian who already served in 1979 to rebuild Dominic Demet Apokrimetis, a pilot in Canada, who's going to be going down to the island. He said that we're going to need a lot of nails, we're going to need hammers, we're going to need handsaws, we need measuring tapes, we need tarps to create quick shelters. as the senator said, insect repellent would be very good. Canned goods. Are we going to deliver a lot of the stuff? We're going to do a lot of the syringes and wheelchairs. We're going to take walkers, ventilators, sutures, syringes, and all kinds of tubes and containers will be included in this container that will be coming down from Project Cure. And Project Cure has approved us and is willing to give us a $400,000 worth of supply to Dominique, which we are already start putting together. But inside that container, we want to put things that are acceptable to Project Cure, but at the same time also acceptable to the government over there. So we make sure that we just got only things that we really immediately need, as chainsaws, and if anybody has got a small motorcycle that's 150cc with a Kawasaki or any of those dirt bikes to be able to get around town. If we can get two of those, we've already got the request out, and I'll tell Brother Gabe about the solar company that we have here in Colorado, so maybe we will find a solution there. But I thank you for the opportunity and for everybody to come together, and just let's show people that we can work together.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Mel. I really appreciate those words and your commitment to help food improve the lives of our brothers and sisters who are going through this crisis. Pastor, would you love to give us some spiritual guidance before we close out with the senator? Are you still there, Pastor?
Sure. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And again, I want to thank you for this opportunity and thank you to the senator and all the participants this evening. And one of the things that I would ask all listeners and all of you to continue to do is to continue to hold the citizens of these countries in prayer. Because in talking with my nieces and nephews and siblings, it's wearisome, you know. You know, my sister made the comment that, you know, we are doing the best we can. We're making the best of the situation, but sometimes it just gets tired, you know. And you know, I've never lived through something like that. I can't even begin to imagine what it's like. But I would ask that we continue to hold them in prayer and give them words of encouragement. And I pray that that our listeners and our communities will work together and support the rebuilding of these islands. You know, and in the meantime, give support to address the needs of people who have lost their livelihood, you know, in the meantime.
Thank you, Pastor. We thank you for those words. Senator.
Hi, I'm so
here. With us?
I am.
Well, you are, I hate to say the star of the show, but you are living in the essence of a brutal existence right now. And all we can do
is
offer support and prayer. So we'd like to hear from you, your final words.
Basically, there's a poem by John Donne that says, "No man is an island entire of itself, either she's a piece of the continent, a part of the main." And to the end of that poem, he says, "Any man's death diminishes me, for I am involved in mankind." And that's the mentality that we should have going forth in the recovery effort, understanding that any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind. And it doesn't matter if you are from a British territory, from a Dutch or a French territory, an independent island nation, an American territory. We've all been affected in this region, and we all trade, we all do commerce with each other. So when one island doesn't do good, the other islands are not doing good. And among our citizens, fear is normal. Anxiety is normal. We have gone through the gamut of emotions, but one thing that does not change is God's everlasting love. So as we continue, we're going to be blessed, but God can't bless us. He can't give a mature blessing to a people with immature faith. So we just have to be faithful, be hopeful, be resilient, and trust that we'll rebuild.
Well, we want to thank you, Senator, for your words. Thank you for your persistence, your tenacity, and your resiliency of your brothers and sisters there in the USVI St. Thomas, St. Croix, and St. John's who are enduring this, but we never will forget the island of Dominica who has been ravaged. It's personal to me as well because my wife, Neva Schillingford King, is a proud Dominican child, and we are still in search of our family there as well. So we're looking to communicate more with the Dominica high authority. We understand that the Prime Minister Skerrett will be in New York speaking at the United Nations Saturday, and as well as going out to Brooklyn. There is word that I got, it's a possibility that he might make it to the Bronx due to the fact there is a large Dominican community here in the borough of the Bronx. If not, we're still looking forward to have Ambassador to join us, Lauren Bannis to join us. But at the end of the day, you know, we all still need to come together as one human being, as under God. You know, sometimes we never understand why things happen, but I go back to Isaiah 55:8-9, where the Lord says, His thoughts are not our thoughts, His ways are not our ways. As heaven is higher than earth, His ways are higher than earth. And when He does things, we don't understand sometimes why He does them, but His essence is greater than our essence, which He's described to us and tells us and reminds us from time to time. And sometimes when man forgets who's in charge, the Lord has a way of reminding us who controls our existence. So even though we are going through these trials and tribulations, I ask us all to reach out and find the God in us. Find the God in us to do what we have to do, as Scripture tells us. You know, did you feed your brother when he was hungry? Did you clothe your sister when she needed some clothing? Did you house a child when that child needed housing? These are the commandments. These are the rules. These is what we're following by. This is what Jesus left us to do. Not bicker and fight among who is in power, but making sure that we are all empowered together under the word of Christ. As we wrap down, I want to say thank you to my guest tonight on King Talk, Senator Janelle Sarahu from St. Thomas, Pastor Janet Hodge of the United Methodist Church of Crawford, also Gabriel Christian Esquire, who's done remarkable work in Washington as well as Dominica, and Brother Mel Tawade. We want to thank you for all that you're doing in Colorado and bringing your company to help our children. And as we always do in King Talk, we end up each and every day with a scripture. Tonight's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians 5. For we know that if the earth tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. In summary, it is in these times of disaster and tragedy that we must remember our faith, because no matter how many times our homes are destroyed, we will always have a place in God's kingdom. God bless you. I look forward to seeing you all on Sunday at Crawford United Methodist Church, 3757 White Plains Road. God bless. Till then, be well.